And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
Hi, Mr. Whitaker.
Oh, hello, Cody.
You look real busy.
Oh, not as busy as you look. What are you doing with all those books?
They're for a school report.
Oh, must be a big assignment. What's it about?
A famous person, but I don't know any famous people.
Oh.
I'm thinking I might do it on a famous musician.
Yeah, that sounds good. Which musician did you have in mind?
Beats me. But I have to hurry up and decide.
Oh, why?
Because the report was due today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I kept putting it off, and then I got sick, and... You know what's funny?
What?
I thought my teacher was going to really get after me. But when I told her, she just gave me, you know, the look. And then she said I could have a little more time. I was shocked.
Well, it sounds as though you experienced a little grace.
No, it was Mrs. Hawkins.
No, I mean, you received grace. It means undeserved mercy. You'd done something wrong, but you received pardon instead of the punishment you deserved. God shows it to us all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wish he'd show it to me a little more, because I still can't think of who to do this report on.
Well, how about something to do with grace?
You mean Mrs. Hawkins?
No, I mean, do a report about someone who once wrote about grace.
Is it somebody famous?
Uh-huh. Though he's not as famous now as he once was. He'd done some pretty terrible things in his life. He tried to desert from the Navy, and he sold slaves, and... Well, it's quite a story.
Wow, can you tell it to me?
Sure. The man's name was John Newton. He was born in England in 1725, the son of a sea captain in the British merchant fleet. By the time he was a teenager, John was an experienced sailor himself. But the love of his ship and the sea weren't the only loves he had. There was someone on shore who had his heart.
Mary, won't you take my arm as we walk?
Yes, thank you, John.
I cannot tell you how often I've dreamed of us walking down a quiet London street together of a Sunday evening.
After all your adventures on the high seas, after seeing all those exotic Mediterranean ports.
It wasn't London or English life that I dreamed of, Mary. It was you.
You mustn't say such things.
Mary, you know I care for you. I have since we were scarcely more than children. I think you care for me as well. I've always hoped that we might have a future together.
As have I. But there remains a barrier between us. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked with an unbeliever." I could never marry any man who is not a Christian.
Oh, that again.
John, I don't mean to seem harsh and unbending. You cannot know how I have prayed that your heart would soften towards Christ.
I don't mean to be harsh and unbending myself. My mother was a Christian woman too, very devout. But I was very little when she died. I've had no need for God or Christ since.
We're here. Come inside. Attend Vespers with me. You may find a need inside these walls.
No, I think not. We've had a lovely day together. I need to get back to my ship.
Very well. I'm not giving up on you, John Newton. And I do not believe the Lord will either.
If you say so.
John, at least read the little Bible I gave you, would you?
We don't have much time for reading at sea.
Please.
I'll take it with me. If nothing else, it'll remind me of you.
At that time, church was the last place that John Newton wanted to be.
Your tankard, you lazy sea dog.
Lassie, bring us another round, double time.
Hold your horses, you lord. Give us a minute.
We're sailors, girl. Yeah. We wouldn't know how to hold a horse, even if we had one.
Every minute counts while we're ashore.
Oh, speaking of such, do you gents know where I'd be if I wasn't here passing the time with you?
Tell us, Ewan.
Well, I'd be in church.
Church.
Listening to hymns and sermons.
Hurry up, Lassie. This young fella has cast for celebration.
Yes, the woman I love wishes me to become a religious man.
Oh, she's not a religious, she says.
The ocean will soon run dry, I think.
Our tankards have also run dry. Fill them up, Lassie, and today, if you please.
End off, you old geezer. I'll just do this when I want.
All right, then, we get them.
Seize this young one
here! No, wait! I can't! Hey. No, not me! I'm a seaman on a merchant ship!
Be quiet!
What happened? Where am I?
Where am I, it says. You're in a longboat, matey. Before long, you'll be in that warship in the harbour yonder.
Warship?
You heard right.
That's it.
You've been pressed into the service of His Majesty's Navy.
No, I can't be pressed. I'm a merchant seaman. My father's a merchant captain. I'm his midshipman.
That's all right, boy. The Royal Navy needs midshipmen, too.
Can't get enough good midshipmen nowadays.
You mean they could just knock John Newton over the head and kidnap him into the British Navy?
Oh, they sure could. It was a brutal time. The press gangs were like the draft, except they didn't give you time to say goodbye to your families. John put in 2 long years in that warship, but he counted the hours until they'd sail back to England.
Blaney! You asleep?
No, Newton, I ain't. I'm just laying here waiting to have a conversation with you.
I'm awfully tired of these hammocks.
Why don't you speak to the captain? I feel sure he'll let you trade for his bunk.
Ah, stow it, Blaney. I just mean it'll feel good to sleep in a bed again.
What are you talking about, boy?
England. We're landing in Plymouth in 2 days. There's a certain young lady I can't wait to see.
Newton, you must be daft. I didn't even think a midshipman could be so balmy.
What do you mean?
You're a pressed seaman, lad. You think the Royal Navy is going to let you have shore leave just to watch you escape?
What?
I tell you where you're going to be, boy. You're going to be right aboard this ship while we refit. And then we're off for a lovely 5-year cruise round the world.
No, I'm not. I don't care what you say.
Oh, it's not me, boyo. It's the Royal Navy.
I don't care what anyone says. You or the Navy. I'm going ashore. Nobody's going to stop me from seeing my Mary.
All hands present and accounted for, sir.
Read the bill of particulars.
Aye, aye, sir. Midshipman John Newton has been found guilty of attempting to swim to shore while his ship was docked at Plymouth. It is the captain's sentence that he be broken to the rank of ordinary seaman and publicly flogged.
Very well. All hands prepare to witness punishment.
All hands prepare to witness punishment. Attention!
Very well. Mr. Fordham, do your duty, please.
Aye, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Come in.
Captain, I've brought Seaman Newton as requested, sir. Standard attention and report.
Seaman Newton, reporting as ordered, sir.
This is the man I was telling you about. You can see what a rebellious creature he is, just by the way he stands there glaring at us.
Yes, I see.
I had high hopes for the lad once, when he was a midshipman. He performed his duties well, showed a talent for navigation. He even began to exhibit an interest in reading books, attempting to better himself. Then, when we docked at Plymouth, he undertook to swim ashore without leave.
Oh, that was very ungrateful of him, I'm sure.
I thought to bring him around with a stern dose of naval discipline, but alas, he has become incorrigible. So mutinous that he threatens the morale of the entire ship.
I see.
Newton, this is Captain Barbary, who commands the trade ship anchored to leeward.
Yes, Captain. I happened to notice when he was rowed over, sir.
Captain Barbary proposes to exchange some crew members. Would you be interested, Newton, in leaving His Majesty's service?
Yes, sir. I'd do anything to be out of the Navy. I have reasons for desiring to be back in England at a more reasonable period, sir.
Perhaps you should tell Newton what kind of merchant you are, Captain Barbary.
I'm in the slave trade. We're taking my ship to Africa to pick up a new load of slaves. Then we sail back across the Atlantic to trade them to the Americas. We don't get anywhere close to England for quite some time.
Nonetheless, I assure you, Captain Barbary, that I should do my best in your service. Only take me off this ship. I beg you, sir.
Very well.
Thank you, sir. You won't regret it.
Done. Only I warn you, Barbary, you may have a bit of trouble with this man.
Oh, I think young Newton will prove cooperative, Captain. In my business, we have methods that surpass even the British Navy's.
Aboard the slave trader, John Newton sailed to the coast of Africa. Again, he was an exceptional sailor. Once his feet hit land, the thoughts of faraway England and of Mary made him bitter and disobedient. So, Captain Barbary chained him up and put him out to work in the fields of his African plantation.
Well, Newton, you're hard at labor, I see. Perhaps you'd appreciate a cool drink of water.
Thank you, sir.
You might have an alternative to field work in the hot sun. Your British naval captain seemed to think you had the makings of a good sailor. Always had your nose in a book, he said, improving your mind.
I knew someone once who thought I ought to do more reading.
Suppose you had the chance to go back to the sea. Those chains could be struck off. If I thought you'd learn to behave yourself.
At least these chains have taught me to keep my mouth shut and do what I'm told.
Indeed. Well, I need officers. Men who can learn how to load and chain slaves aboard my ship. How to supervise them. How to transport them to the Americas for sale. Do you think you could learn all this?
I could learn.
You think you could learn to use a whip as well?
I felt a whip. I'd rather use it on others than have it used on me.
All right, then. We shall find out how well you learn.
Pick it up, Africa!
Move along!
Come on, you uncivilized brutes!
Get them on board, sailor! This ship has to catch the tide, and I plan to see that we do! Get those women moving now!
Quick now!
Sadly, John Newton learned the tasks of the slave trade very well. Cruelty and greed had hardened his heart.
Wait a minute, Mr. Whittaker.
Huh?
How could he do those things to other people, especially after he was a slave and got whipped?
Well, Cody, that's how some people react to hardship. Even though they've been subjected to cruelty and hated it, they also become cruel.
So what happened to him? I haven't heard anything that makes him worth doing a report about.
Well, now just hold on. His story isn't over. Even while Newton got caught up in the greed of the lucrative slave trade, there was someone back in England who still cared deeply about him.
Mary?
Yes, Father?
Your mother informs me that you have rejected the attentions of Mr. Jones. I gave my permission for young Mr. Jones to call upon you, and now I learn that you have sent him packing like all the others.
I felt it would be wrong to allow Mr. Jones to entertain hopes that I might develop feelings for him when I know that I could not.
Oh?
I don't want the poor man to waste his time.
Waste his time?
I only mean that he would be better off paying court to some other young lady who might be open to his attentions.
My dear, you are almost 20 years old. All of your friends are long since married. If you persist in driving away every eligible suitor who appears at our door, your condition will become irreparable. You must remember that you have only another year or two before you shall be considered a hopeless old maid.
Father, I have prayed diligently about all these young men.
You have prayed. I know your thoughts, young lady. You're pouring out your life dreaming about a worthless sailor who may never come back to these shores and who would not be a suitable husband if he did. What shall I do with you?
Father in heaven, I do not wish to be a trial to my parents. But you know that Daddy is right. There is someone. Father, please protect John out upon the sea. Make him feel the emptiness of his life without you. Give him a hunger for your word, Lord, and help him find the faith to believe. Do what you must to grab hold of his attention and devotion, Lord.
By 1748, at the age of only 23, John Newton became captain of his own slave ship. He'd risen from slave to slave trader. But down deep inside, the success he'd achieved wasn't enough. Doubts and questions nagged at him like the waves that slapped at the bow of his ship.
Who goes there?
At ease, Mr. Spivey.
Oh, Captain Newton. Well, bless you, sir. We didn't expect you on deck at this hour. It's a good 3 hours till daylight.
Well, sometimes I wake up and can't fall back to sleep again.
Can't say as I have that problem, Captain. I'd be fast asleep below if the helmsman of the watch had not fallen ill.
Well, go below, then. I'll take the helm until the morning watch.
Oh, sir, I wasn't trying to suggest...
No, it's all right, Mr. Spivey. I'm quite sure I shan't be able to get back to sleep myself anyway.
The cargo making noise, sir. I can see to that.
No, the fault is only within myself. I often wake up in the middle of the night and... Tell me, Mr. Spivey, do you ever think about your family and friends back in England?
Well, occasionally, sir. But the rum ration usually takes care of that.
Well, the rum doesn't help me much. Makes it worse, I think. My dead mother returns to rebuke me for drinking too much.
You must be drinking the watered-down stuff. I can get you some.
No. Don't bother. I'm all right. Get you below, Mr. Spivey. Sleep.
Aye, Captain. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Spivey. What is this restlessness within me? I feel so barren, so lost. What is it?
Slowly, as time went by, Mary's prayers were answered. John felt the emptiness more and more. His fears gnawed at him day and night. Deep questions weighed on his mind. He began to search for answers.
Captain, the wind's rising a bit. Should we add more sail to take advantage?
No, Mr. Spivey. Let's see how she does for the present.
Very well, sir. But with permission, I'll keep the men on alert. The whole crew stands ready to rig more sail at a moment's notice.
Anxious to land in England, are they? Well, so am I. It's been many a year.
You'll be able to go in for some amusements a bit more substantial than your reading, sir.
Than my reading?
Oh, yes. It's the talk of the whole crew. How in your spare moments you always have your nose stuck in a book.
Yeah, well, that's how I've educated myself. Reading whatever happens to come in hand.
Never had much regard for book learning myself. No need for it. But I respect them that do just as well. I did notice that you were reading as you paced the deck, sir, before you took the helm.
Oh, it was something I picked up in Brazil. It's hard to find anything in English. You have to make do with whatever you find.
You seem quite intent upon it, sir.
Well, if you must know, Mr. Spivey, it was The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis.
I beg your pardon, Captain.
Well, I'm glad you find my taste in books so amusing, first mate.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Captain. I don't mean to offend, but after all, you have a reputation as the most blasphemous man on the seven seas. Next you'll be telling me you're reading the Bible, sir. I don't mean to offend, sir.
Well, there were people in my past who were quite religious, Mr. Spivey. Sometimes I read such things, trying to find out what made them tick. That's all. I'm not waiting for the hand of the Almighty to appear.
Ahoy, below! Ahoy on deck!
Yes, look out! What is it?
Storm cloud ahead, Captain.
Where about?
Dead ahead, sir. 10 degrees to larboard.
Can you see it, Spivey?
Yes, sir. On the horizon.
All men to stations.
Aye, Captain. All men to station!
You, seaman!
Yes, sir.
Get forward and run up the fore staysail. If you lose the jib, I won't have anything left to steer by.
Aye, aye.
Push up, can't take much more of this, Captain. If the waves get any bigger, we'll go down for sure.
Hang on the ropes, man. You'll be swept overboard. Where's the first mate?
Here I am, sir.
How's the hull?
We
taking on a lot of water, sir. More than a foot and a half of the bilges.
Then get a move on! Man the pumps! And send the other men to throw in the cargo overboard! We need to lighten the ship!
Yes, sir! Go! Go! Come with me!
If you're out there, God, hear me! Oh, God, have mercy on us!
John Newton had tied himself to the wheel of his ship to keep from being swept overboard in the hurricane. There he remained for more than a day and a night, steering desperately through the huge waves. Finally, the storm passed.
Captain, there's a leak in the hold. Water's coming in, slow but sure. We're going to have to man the pumps 24 hours a day, all the way to England.
Very well. Set a first watch to pumping, and let the rest of the men get some sleep.
Aye, aye, sir. Sir, on behalf of the men, I'd like to express our gratitude for your skill at the wheel. Not many mariners could have kept this ship afloat. You saved our lives, sir.
I didn't do it alone, first mate.
Beg your pardon, sir?
There were 100 times in that storm when we should have capsized. It's as if we were held upright by an invisible hand.
It's a bit mysterious. Perhaps we'd all better do some of your Bible reading, sir.
Get on about your duties.
Yes, sir. Begging your pardon, sir.
Must it always take a great storm to make us see the obvious? God in heaven, I know it is true. We could not have survived that storm without your intervention. Please forgive this wretched sinner for being so slow to believe. For you are a great God, with a mighty hand of power.
As soon as the ship docked in England, John made his way to the London home of the Catlett family.
John, I prayed for you every day, but I had almost lost hope that we would see one another ever again.
It is a gift of grace, dear Mary, that led me back home.
It is almost... it's a dream.
A dream that was almost prevented after the hurricane. Before we made England, we almost sank again off the coast of Ireland.
But God was protecting you.
That he was. I know that now. But if we had gone to the bottom off the Irish coast, I would have gone as a forgiven man. When I learned that God could protect us in a hurricane, I was ready to believe that he could raise a man from the dead. I prayed, Mary. I put my faith in Jesus Christ that he had died for my sins.
Dearest John, if only it had not been so difficult for you.
It's my own fault. I can only ask you to forgive me for being a stubborn fool for so many years.
There is no need to ask. The only feeling in my heart is gratitude.
Then I must ask you something else. Mary, you know that I love you. I'd like your permission to ask your father for your hand in marriage.
John, you have my love and my consent, and I do not think my father would give you any difficulty. My parents know that if they wish to see me married, I shall not have anyone else.
Oh, Mary.
So John Newton gave up selling slaves and they lived happily ever after, right?
Wrong. John was a new Christian and didn't fully understand how wrong slavery was. He made 3 more voyages as a slave trader.
I can't believe that!
Well, in later years, neither could he. But Newton had a lot to learn about the Bible, the ways of God, and the value of every individual life, no matter what the skin color. The Lord worked on his conscience, and he finally quit. He took a job as the tide surveyor in the port city of Liverpool. And that enabled him and Mary Catlett to marry.
So when did he write about grace and become famous?
Okay, I'm getting to that. When they were first married, John studied the Bible in his spare time, learning to read it in the original Hebrew and Greek. He and Mary became very active in Christian outreach, and they opened their home to traveling preachers and evangelists. Their influence led him to enter the ministry. He was named rector of the Anglican Church in a little village called Olney. In the course of his ministry, Newton discovered that he had a talent for writing. He was especially gifted in writing letters to encourage Christians who were in difficult circumstances. Soon, he turned his attention to writing poems and songs.
Mary, do you have a moment?
Certainly, dear.
I want you to hear this. It's the words to a new hymn I've been working on. Do you mind?
Of course not. Read.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Wait a minute, I know that song. It's Amazing Grace. We sing it in church.
That's right. John Newton wrote it.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised
good to me. That's great! I get to do my report about a musician after all. Then what happened to John Newton?
Well, later he was called to pastor a well-known church in London. His story influenced a lot of powerful Christian politicians, such as William Wilberforce, who eventually helped to pass the laws that eliminated the international slave trade.
So Mr. Newton helped to end slavery?
No, very much so.
Wow.
It took over 30 years of hard work, but Newton's influence helped to make it happen. He died in 1807 at the age of 82, having preached the gospel of Jesus Christ for almost six decades. Not only did he impact his generation, but generations to come with a hymn that has strengthened and comforted millions of people.
This is a great story from my report.
Oh, I thought it might be.
Thanks, Mr. Whitaker.
Uh-huh.
Now all I need to do is write it down. I'll call it Amazing Grace.
That's a good idea, Cody. Amazing Grace.
The tombstone of John Newton reads, John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. These words were written by John Newton himself shortly before he died, and are a fitting testimonial to his life. His story is inspiring to us now, not only because it gave us one of the world's best-loved hymns, but because of its example of the unwavering love of God. No matter what we've done in our lives, our faith in Jesus Christ can cleanse and restore us to God. So if you think God can't possibly love you because of something you've done, then remember the words of 1 Peter 2:24. And Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Amazing Grace was written by Doug McIntosh and directed by Paul McCusker. Our production engineer was Mark Drury, with music by John Campbell. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures and Odyssey.